Romans chapter number 8 in your Bibles, if you would. I actually have an outline for the whole chapter that I'm not going to preach. I'm only going to preach my first point. When I got looking at this today, I thought, good night, this is easily an hour. And then it's rushed and not really expounding what I hope to get across. When it comes to some of this doctrine in Romans, it can get hard to understand. It can be confusing. And so I want to make sure that with God's help, I'm making it simple as possible and clear. These things, we got to understand some of this stuff. It'll help you in your Christian walk. It'll help you as you battle and struggle through every area of your life, whether it be just practical stuff, whether it be sin you're dealing with, whether it be trying to do right. No matter what it is, to understand the doctrine of your salvation will help you. It helps me wrap my mind around what's going on, and then it helps me fight. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which were in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness, right? He didn't have sinful flesh, but He had flesh like ours, and ours is sinful. So in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for such an amazing and powerful passage of Scripture. Lord, arguably, if it's possible, we know this whole book, start to finish, is wonderful. I believe that with all my heart, Lord. But Father, this is arguably, from our human perspective at least, one of the greatest passages in the Bible for a Christian. And Lord, we need understanding by the Spirit of God in these things. And I pray this morning, Father, you'd help me. Help me to make the point clear. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with my mouth and be with my mind. And most of all, Father, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God, that as I'm preaching, I'd walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Now, I pray you'd feed your sheep. I pray you'd make it clear and plain to the folks that are here. I pray that, Lord, spiritually light bulbs would be going on in our head and that, Lord, we'd get some help this morning. I pray, Father, you'd just help our attention to be right on the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to hold our attention there. And I pray, Lord, that you just help the length of time and everything else to be exactly what you'd have it be. And may we this morning respond to your Holy Spirit as a church. We look for your blessing, Lord. We want to please you. We need help doing that. Help us this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Here in Romans chapter 8, you'll notice in verse number 1, the dire need of every Christian to learn to walk after the Spirit of God. It's of utmost importance that you and I learn what it means to walk after the Spirit. He says in verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you are saved this morning, God spiritually has put you into Christ Jesus. That's your spiritual location. Your physical location is in South Lyon, Michigan, or Lyon Township, Michigan. But your spiritual location is in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's a blessing to know. I mean, to me, it comforts my heart to realize He has made me one with the Son of God. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, has made me one with His Son. That, to me, is exciting to stop and let that soak in for a second. But the scary thing about that verse is it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it qualifies that statement, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's what's frustrating. You've heard it preached and taught that a Christian can lose their salvation. And I've always told you, they get verses of Scripture and they take things from the Bible to try to prove their point. This would be one of the verses that could be confusing and that some could spin to say, see, if you get saved, you trust Jesus as your Savior, and then throughout your life you walk after the Spirit, you won't lose your salvation. But if you walk after the flesh, you walk into condemnation and therefore lose your salvation and go to hell. Could you see where somebody could look at that passage and say, that looks like what it's teaching? Be honest. Sure. I can see it. The problem is they're not looking at the context. Funniest thing to me is that segment of people who teach that plan of salvation are also largely, most of them, are obsessed with the filling of the Holy Ghost. All the time they're talking about the filling of the Holy Ghost. Do you got the filling of the Holy Ghost? Do you have the evidence of your salvation? We were out this week knocking on doors, and a brother Dennis was there, came over talking to us, and told them a little bit about us, and they're sitting at the table, and they're hammered out of their mind, and they're smoking and doing their thing, and that's their business, whatever. I'm no better than they are, right? Amen? But they're sitting there just wasted, and the lady begins to, like, poke at me about something that I knew what she was getting at. She starts begins to poke at me about the gift of the Spirit. And she says, are you a full gospel church? You know what I wanted to say? Nah, we're like a half gospel church, you know, but it's cool because we focus on the last half, the burial and the resurrection. So, I mean, we're good, you know. Of course, we're a full gospel church. We preach the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the full gospel. Amen. You know what she's getting at? She's getting at, do you believe in the gifts of healing? Do you believe in the gifts of tongues? Why are you going to stop and argue with me about that right now? I believe that the Spirit of God gives me the power to overcome my flesh. I believe that if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, He will allow me and help me to control my flesh. I believe the Spirit of God gives me a way of escape from the sin that is in the context of chapter 7. Paul ends that chapter, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul is desperate for help because the body, the flesh in which he lives, is so prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's prone to go away from doing right and to get wrapped back up into sin. And Paul's saying, who's going to help me? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. And in the context of that, in the context of verse 25, he ends the chapter, but with the flesh, the law of sin, with the mind in my heart, because I'm born of God's Spirit, inside of me, there is an overwhelming desire to know the Lord, an overwhelming desire to please the Lord. There's something in me that's not happy without Jesus Christ. There's something in me that although the sun may be shining, the bank account may be full, the savings account could be overflowing, you got everything you want in life, the children are great, the marriage is wonderful, without Jesus Christ, I'm just not happy. Without Jesus Christ, it's not satisfying. That's the mind of Christ, the new man inside of me. He says, thank God, with the mind I serve the law of God. I desire to do right, but with the flesh the law of sin. So in that context, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's what you got to remember. Don't ever forget this. Just because the word condemnation in some places is talking about eternity in the lake of fire, does not mean every place is being applied the same way. Example, the word baptism. You were baptized into Jesus Christ the day you got saved. Had nothing to do with water. Your baptism, your physical water baptism came later. There is a spiritual baptism, there's a physical baptism. You can't just take that word and run with it. You got to look at the context and what's surrounding it, and you got to look at what God's trying to say and what He's talking about and what He's applying it to before you just go to an assumption from one word pulled out of the verse. That word condemnation, it doesn't say eternity in the lake of fire. It doesn't say everlasting destruction. It says there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now watch verse 2 to help explain verse 1. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know. What do the theologians say? Don't worry. They'll mess your head up.
Yes, sir.
What did God say? Look at what God says about His own book. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, God put you under a law. You know what that law is? The law of the Spirit of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am come that you might have, and that you might have it more abundantly. I got saved. I got life. See, when I was born, I got life. I was alive. It was a physical life. It was a life that was going to end. Because I was born sold under sin. It's a life that's going to be stamped out. And then there's a spiritual death at the end of that. Eternity in the lake of fire. So really, when a child is born, they don't have life more abundantly. They got life. When you get born again, you receive life more abundantly. It is eternal life that already started the day you were saved. You are already in eternity. You're just trapped in this body waiting for the redemption, waiting to get out so you can finally see what it is you're going to spend, where it is you're going to spend eternity, and what it is inside of you you're looking forward to, but can't comprehend it because we're still trapped here. You got life. When you got in Jesus Christ, you received the law of the Spirit of life. And that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus eliminated the previous law. Hath made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. So the one law canceled out the other law. One law overrides the other law. But here's the problem. The law of sin and death in verse number 3 is contained somewhere. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, how? Through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus cancels out the law of sin and death. In other words, you're not stuck under the law of sin and death anymore. You've got an overriding law that's going to come in and eliminate the law of sin and death. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. That is gone for us. But the problem is, I still am in the flesh. And the flesh is sold under the law of sin. Are you with me so far or are you lost? I'm trying to make it as clear as I can. Say, I'm only falling apart of it. Praise the Lord. That's how it works. Here a little, there a little. Build on it. Get what you can get and build on it over time. So what I've got right here is a law that you're looking at in this body. That's why the body dies. That's why we say you're only 2/3 saved. Your spirit is saved and your soul is saved, but your flesh is not saved. You understand that?
Are you saved? Well, mostly.
That's not the same way people say, well, I think so. I'm pretty sure. I'm 100% sure where I'm going when I die. I'm 100% sure where I'm going to spend eternity. And I cannot wait to lay this rotten carcass down in a grave because I'm going to be resurrected to get a glorified body, the completion of my salvation. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So what I got to do is finish out the sentence in the body, lay it down in the ground. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus cancels out where death is going to go, the lake of fire. And I step into the new law at 100% completion. Right now I got about 60-something percent. Is that making sense to you?
Amen.
So here's the condemnation. The condemnation is in your flesh. I'll show you. Keep your finger here in Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start in verse 28. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, here's the word, damnation to his eternal soul. Is that what it says? No, it says to himself. Not discerning what? The Lord's body. Yes, you're a schizophrenic. You got yourself, and you're also, if you're born again, you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. You're part of the church. You're part of the bride. He eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Really, really the part of him that most believers are aware of. You realize you got two parts to you. If you're born of God's Spirit, you've got the Holy Ghost of God living in you, the bride of Jesus Christ, the indwelling Spirit who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there. The problem is most Christians are just not that aware of His presence inside of them. He eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. The part of himself he is the most aware of, his flesh, not discerning the Lord's body. Watch verse 30. He explains it. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I'm not sure about that verse. It looks like I can be damned. Okay. Verse 30. Let it explain it. For this cause. What cause? The judgment. The not discerning the Lord's body. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God brings the judgment of weakness on the flesh, sickness on the flesh, and death on the flesh. You can receive condemnation in your flesh by walking after your flesh, but that doesn't touch your spirit. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, freed me from the law of sin and death. So if you want to get born again and go live like the devil, go get yourself hooked on drugs, go use dirty needles, you think you're going to be immune from getting diseases and dying early? You think you can go get drunk and drive drunk and you're immune from a wreck? You're immune from jail? You sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. You're not freed from that law to the point where you can get away with murder. You're freed from that law spiritually. So if you don't want condemnation in the flesh, you got to make sure you're not walking after the flesh, because the flesh will take you the direction the flesh wants to go, which is the law of sin and death. The flesh wants to follow that law. But if you and I will walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me put it this way. I have never got myself into trouble, spiritual trouble, by following Jesus Christ. I've never had to answer to God for what I've done in a negative sense for following Jesus Christ. There have been times in my life that I've followed my flesh, and because of that I've had to answer for God. I've suffered judgment from God, correction from God, chastisement from God, condemnation for what I did. He is a righteous judge. What kind of a good parent just lets their kids do whatever they want and never corrects them? That's child abuse. You think God's any different? The damnation he's speaking of here is the damnation of the flesh. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That condemnation you're going to get in this lifetime. God will get glory out of your life one way or the other. It glorifies God to him for him to show you he's his child and he whooped you. You can't get away with what you used to get away with, Christian. I'm sorry, but you can't. It's different now. You've got a different mind. Back in Romans chapter 8. The condemnation that Jesus Christ came into the world to eliminate in John chapter 3 is the condemnation of sin. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to judge sin. Read John chapter 3 later in your own time and you'll see that Jesus Christ came so that he could condemn sin in the flesh, verse number 3. For they, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Christians who live according to the flesh live according to something that is dead. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So much preaching has really done the whole Spirit-filled life a disservice. I've heard it preached my whole life. The Spirit-filled Christian life is what you do, where you go, it's what you wear, it's what you don't do, it's what you look at, it's what you don't look at. Listen, forget all that stuff. Forget all that garbage. The Spirit-filled Christian life is peace in your heart. It's peace in your mind. It's peace in your soul. It is life. It's not depressing. It's not I sit home and stare at the wall because the whole world is sinful and I want to be Spirit-filled, so I got to keep myself sterile from everything in the world. That's not it. The Spirit-filled Christian life is peace. Because now there's not a quandary going on inside of you, a struggle, a constant fight going on inside of you. No, the decision has been made and you're going to do what God would have you to do every day, every moment, everywhere you go. Now that's a tall order. I don't think any of us have that mastered. I'm pretty sure you'll be living your whole life striving to master that. But can I tell you, it's life and it's peace. What we truly need is to walk after the Spirit. We truly need to learn to be filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, the first thing, old things are passed away. And don't worry, most of this was introduction, I promise. Old things are passed away. We got to understand that as we're dealing with the quandary of trying to live the Christian life in a sinful body. Look at verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You know what the problem with your body is? Sin. So don't be like shocked when you go to the doctor and he says, you got a problem. What's God doing to me? I thought, your body is dead because of sin. Sinful bodies die. They stink. They rot. I mean, look, if you can work outside all day and stand yourself, something's seriously wrong with you. Your body stinks. It is a dying body. The body is dead. Why? Because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit that God put in you is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and it's His righteousness. He condemned sin in His flesh because He never sinned. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know what, folks? Sin no longer has the same power over you once you're born again. When you got the Spirit of God living in you, it doesn't have the same power. I know you want to. It feels good to get drunk. It feels good to get high. It feels good to just let it rip and speak your mind to somebody. It feels good to give in to the flesh. It feels good to sleep in when you're supposed to get up. It feels good to not read your Bible when you're supposed to read it. It feels good to say, I'll pray later when you're supposed to be getting down and praying. The flesh doesn't like to do the things that God would have it to do. But inside of you is the Spirit of life. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's a piece of you that desires to do right. Old things are passed away to a saved person. All that stuff is gone. It was crucified. It was nailed to the cross of Calvary. Jesus took all my sin from me. Now the only reason I sin is because I choose to sin. I can't stop. Yes, you can if you're born again. I've tried and I just can't. The problem is you want to do what you're doing. And the more you give into the flesh, the weaker the Spirit gets. The more you give yourself that way, and give yourself that way, and give yourself that way, the more hopeless you feel. I can't. Listen, according to this book, and according to what God sees from heaven, you can stop whatever God asks you to stop. And when you do, you will be joyful. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do on Friday night? You'll start living your life. That's what you'll do. I remember that feeling. Thinking, man, when I get right with God, there's going to be nothing to do. I'm going to be bored out of my mind. Can I tell you, nothing could be farther from the truth. I've had more exciting times trying to serve God than I ever had in the world. And with a clean conscience. It's a great joy that God allows us to serve Him, that God gives us a way of escape so that we don't have to sin anymore. That's the Spirit-filled Christian life. It's a way of escape from the temptations that override you, from the temptations that pressure you. Old things are gone. You see, now, because the body is dead because of sin, I know that, but inside the spirit that was dead is now alive in Jesus Christ because I'm born of the Spirit. So now, when I do follow my body, because we all do, it doesn't have the same pop it used to have. Some of you attempted to quit on God. Don't pretend like you don't. Some of you start thinking about the old days. You get tempted to go back to what you used to be. Can I tell you something? It's lost its pop. A Christian who's born again cannot serve sin with the joy a lost man serves it with. Because now inside of him is a spirit of life. And he knows the difference. I was backslidden for a few years. I mean, I've been backslidden off and on my whole Christian life. But I'm talking about giving over to being backslidden for about 6 years of my life. And I was losing my mind. I was so depressed, so discouraged, so angry. And I was blaming my anger on everybody and everything else but myself. My dad did the right thing. He said, you want to live like the devil? You live like the devil somewhere else. And you're not living like that in my house. Get out. My dad. Oh, my parents. Oh, my parents. It's my parents. I hate my parents. It's their fault. No, it wasn't. What that was that quandary going on inside of me and the misery of living life after the flesh, the misery of giving into the so powerful flesh, the misery of not accepting the way of escape that God had made for me, the misery of fighting against inside of me, the mind of Christ is saying, come to me, serve me, give yourself to me, lay down that flesh on the altar so I can fill it and use it. It's miserable. And most Christians live there. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm clean and I live right. But if you're not filled with the Spirit of God as a Christian, you're miserable. Because it's so convoluted. So confusing. You're being pulled two separate directions by the power of the Spirit of God. Saying, that's mine, I've redeemed it, I've bought it, I'm not going to leave you, I've sealed you, but you're grieving me, you can't escape that, you're grieving me, and yet the flesh is saying, more, 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 never enough. And the devil and the world are over there trying to feed that flesh, and feed that flesh, and feed that flesh. I'm not trying to put you in bondage this morning. What this does is it sets us free. To recognize, man, if I'll get my will in line with the will of God and get filled with the Holy Spirit of God and go where He says and do what He says and follow His leading and follow His prodding. Oh my goodness, the life that I live, the joy of my life, the victory in Jesus Christ, the way of escape from that wretched man that I am, I can put him down and I don't have to live in the things whereof I'm now ashamed. See, that's a problem with Christians. Too often our testimony is a bragging of the past. Paul said, oh, what pleasure had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? What glory had you in the things whereof you are now ashamed? I ought to be ashamed, so much ashamed of what I was, that no longer is that what I am. I don't want to chain that to myself and walk around with it. I want it gone. I want Him in control. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The only life left for a Christian to live. The only life. You can do what you want, but I'm just telling you, the only life to live is in verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, are you saved? Are you saved?
Amen.
All right, a few of us are saved. Praise Jesus. Listen, if you're saved, His Spirit dwells in you. So He says, but if, okay, so if you're saved, that's you. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. That's wild. Look, I can't give you a scientific formula for it. But I guarantee you, it happened to me.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, it happened to me. You can forget that garbage of, well, you just feel that way because the way you were raised and you were programmed as a child to feel bad about certain things and programmed as a child not to feel bad about it. Hogwash, man. You don't understand what a bullheaded, dumb, ignorant rebel I am. That was my line of thinking. Yeah, that's just the way they brainwashed me. I am going to unbrainwash myself. It doesn't work. You know why? Because the Spirit of God Almighty gave me a new birth, and He sealed me, and He won't leave me. No matter how far I run or how much I fight, He's there, and He won't let me go. And I'm glad He won't. I'll tell you furthermore, I know this for a fact. You do what you want, I think He'll kill me if I fight Him. I took my Bible, excuse me, for I think most of you, if you've been here a while, you've noticed I don't use as many personal illustrations. I like to use Bible illustrations. Personally, it's not about me. But let me testify for a second.
Amen.
I remember picking up my Bible off my seat in Toledo, Ohio, throwing it on the passenger floorboard of the car, saying, I ain't preaching anymore! Just like that, I was alone in my car. I stomped on that gas. I looked both ways first. Stomped on that gas, pulled out, looked up, and that Camaro said, BAM! Right on my side door. And I'll just be honest with you, I started screaming like a girl. I didn't mean to go! I didn't mean to! I thought I was dying. He was coming at me 40 miles an hour. Pow! Right straight into me. Hit my head on the back door. I thought God was killing me. I'm done. You do what you want. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God won't let me go. And if I fight Him and I resist Him, weak, sickly, sleep. That's what He said. He's gracious and merciful. And I know there seems to be like boundary lines and borders. He said this for sure for every one of us. If He doesn't chastise you, the book of Hebrews, then are ye bastards and not sons. So if you're saved, and you fight Him, you resist Him, you walk after the flesh, He's going to whoop you. That's your minimum. That's your minimum. For me, I'm afraid not to serve Him. And I got this nasty flesh that just preaching it with Paul, man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Some men, some women got a strong flesh, not physically strong, but just that spirit of a man. Just stubborn. Just always hell-bent on doing wrong. Stubborn. Boy, that scares me. Because He's got me sealed. He put His Spirit in me. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the rapture. He's going to quicken this body. So in other words, this mortal dying body is going to lay down corruption and put on incorruption. The day that He comes back, He's going to give me a glorified body like the body of Jesus Christ, where it will no longer be under the law of sin. It will be pure. It will be holy. It will be made into what, and we'll see it later in the same chapter, what I am predestined after I get saved to be made into, which is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will finally, by that same Spirit, get the completion of my salvation. Now no longer will this Will there be this war going on in me? A flesh wanting to do wrong? The Spirit of God trying to get me to do right? A spirit of a man inside of me that always wants to go with the flesh, but the mind of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Jesus Christ saying, no, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll bless you. Follow me and I'll fellowship with you. We can walk together. We can talk together. And the flesh saying, no, forget it. Too much I want to do. But I'll be gone. And I'll have the mind of Jesus Christ, the glorified body like my Savior's, just like I'm predestined to be made into His image. What a day that'll be. That Spirit that's in you that's trying to get you to do right, He's the one that's going to quicken that body and make it glorified. That'll be a great day. Question often comes up, well, preacher, you know, if in the future, in the millennium, and, you know, all that kind of deal where it looks like some can and do follow the devil when he comes out, you know, is it possible for us to? No, it won't be possible for you to fall at that point. You can't lose your salvation now while you're in sinful flesh. You're not going to lose it later when you got a glorified body. You're going to be so much like your Savior. You're going to be married to your bridegroom, the body of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. You are not going anywhere. And even if in this life you choose the law of sin and death, you still got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that'll override that law. And you'll follow that law and you'll pay the fullest fine of that law, which is the death of that flesh. But the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overrides that law. When you lay that body down, the day will come that He'll quicken that thing, pull it up out of the grave and give you a glorified body. So this whole message is all about your best life now. That's what it's about. Christian that fights God's miserable. The only life left is the Spirit-filled Christian life. The last thing I want you to see is that the old man, in order for you and I to walk in the Spirit, in order for you and I to go through that way of escape, the old man, the flesh, has to be mortified. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I owe my flesh nothing. Nothing. You know, I missed my 20s. Just drink 2 liters of pop a day. Couldn't gain a pound. I hated the fact that I just couldn't gain weight. I used to drink 8 boxes of those, what are those, Swiss cake roll things? They got the hard chocolate on the outside, and then they got the cake in the middle, and they're lined with that creamy frosting stuff. You know, you with me? Used to eat that stuff, man, in college. We'd eat boxes of that. I came home spraking out so bad from all the junk I was eating, trying to gain weight in college, that my dad said, are you on steroids? I said, no, I'm not. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're on steroids, aren't you? No, I swear I'm not. I couldn't gain weight to save my life. Now all of a sudden, my flesh tells me at 10 o'clock at night, that a whole box of cookies sounds great. And I'm starving! I get those simple truths from the healthy section at Kroger's, you know, those simple whatever. And you know, oh, they're healthy. Well, yeah, I know, but if you eat a whole box of them, it's like, what, 4,000 calories? You know, it's not healthy when you eat that much of it. Can I tell you something? My body's always telling me that I owe it something. You owe me more sleep. You owe me more food. You owe me more. You owe me more. I owe the body nothing. Shut up. I had to tell my stomach this morning, shut up. I want to eat later. And I want to eat a lot later. So I said, man, you know what? I'm starving. I had one banana all day so far. It's killing me. So you know what? I don't owe it anything. I looked at my wife and I said, you want a breakfast taco from Coffee Beanery? She said, no. All she had to say was yes. And I'd have got me 3 and her 1. Amen. So I told my body, you're good. Shut up. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe the body anything, Christian. Watch it. Verse 12. Therefore we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, how? Through the Spirit. That's the problem. Too many Christians try to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. I can't do that anymore. I'm going to stop. Stop it. Did you fight to save yourself? Did you work so hard to get where you are that the new birth came? I mean, what baby labored and travailed to bring itself into the world? That baby did nothing. It was mama that did all the work. Paul said, I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. You realize the Spirit of God is the one that gives us the victory? I want to get this through your head because it's not easy to grasp. Because we're so used to controlling things and touching things and living by sight all the time. Listen, it's not you that is going to get the victory. It's the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit, I mortify the deeds of the body. I live. It's through His Spirit that I control myself. It's through the Spirit of God that I stop what I ought not be doing. And that I start doing what I ought to be doing. It is not in the power of the flesh that anything good gets done. Maybe that's why God let us work so hard this year and see such little fruit. I'm just saying. Maybe eventually something clicked for some of us and we started just trusting Him a little more. And going out with the gospel and waiting to see what He'll do with it. Man, I've seen some. It's like, I've heard Him teach this. You knock on the door, and if they go to slam the door, you put your foot in the door. Did I get you a track? Look, man. You stick your foot in my door when I open it. I'm serious. I'm thinking you're coming in. I will break your toes. I do not care. I don't feel a thing when you're in pain. I'm fine. I don't feel a thing. Scream all you want, but I don't feel anything. You understand that? That's ignorance. That's soul winning in the power of the flesh. And I've heard preachers preach this stuff. Go get them. Go get them. Listen, stop going and getting them. Stop trying so hard and start relying on the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in you. All power is given unto me, He said. I don't need the power of God. You don't want Mike Reagan to have it. He's got the power. I want Him. And if He can have me, if He can get all of me, then that power can flow through me. And He can do what He needs to do through a channel, through a vessel. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Also, a Christian that doesn't walk after the Spirit isn't saved. They lose their salvation. That is not what it says. Let's look at it this way. If you cannot be led by the Spirit of God, let me say it like this. The Spirit of God cannot lead somebody He does not indwell. Does that make sense? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Well, if you're led by the Spirit of God, it's proof that you're a son of God. Does that make sense to you? He is not saying that if you guys don't go by the Spirit of God, you lose your salvation. He's saying for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, it is proof of your salvation. Don't doubt it. If you're being led by Him. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. He has adopted you as a child, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, walking after the Spirit enables me to call out to my Father, that Abba, Father. Abba, Abba is like a daddy, from what I can find out about it. The first time it shows up is in Mark 14, where Jesus uses it. And He said, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was about to face sin. And in the deepest recesses of his soul, he's calling out to his Father for help. The Christian, now that you're saved, walking in the Spirit from the deepest recesses of your deepest emotions, from the most painful place, from the darkest memory, from the most horrible, deepest recess, you can call out to a Father who cares. And He'll hear you. That's by God's Spirit you can do that. I don't recommend you telling everybody every little piece of your psychological struggles. I don't recommend you confessing your deepest, darkest sins to other people. But you got a Father in heaven, you could say, Daddy, oh, my Father. In the desperation of your soul, as a believer, you can call out to Him as a Father who cares. I care about my daughters. Man, they scream my name, Daddy.
They never get too old to call me daddy. Never.
That's fine with me. If their husband don't like it, he'll stick his head in the toilet or something. I don't care. Amen. Because I'm their daddy. You understand that? You got a daddy in heaven. And from the deepest recesses of your soul, from your biggest, deepest struggles, your most troubling and painful moments, you can cry, Abba, Father. And He hears. That doesn't happen when you're walking in the flesh. Your prayers ricochet off the ceiling. But by His Spirit, He takes them up with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. 2 Timothy 2 tells us if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. You say, well, it's good to be in America and the laws so far don't put us in jail for preaching Christ. And we haven't really suffered persecution. Are you in the flesh? You got a flesh that wants to do wrong? You'll fight against it. When you fight against it and decide to follow the Spirit of God instead of follow your flesh, you suffer. And you lay up an inheritance. You get rewards in heaven by fighting against yourself. It doesn't have anything to do with everybody else and the law and going to prison and being a martyr. It has to do with crucifying the flesh. Verse 18, we'll wrap it up right here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How do you do it, preacher? How do you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh? It's right here. I reckon. It is making up your mind that you're not following the flesh. You're following the Spirit. I reckon the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. So since this world doesn't really matter in comparison to what's coming, I'll tell myself no. I'll tell the Holy Ghost of God yes. And I'll let Him get in the driver's seat of my life. And I'll just say, if He said I'm dead to it, I'm dead to it. If He said I can, I can. If He said I can't, I can't. I reckon it's all in His hand anyhow. You got to choose to let the Spirit of God fill you, control you, and take you over. And if you don't choose to do it, the flesh will run rampant. Folks, the battle is in the mind. And we have the mind of Christ. Let it work. If you would stand with your heads